Hello, welcome to the catch up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. The Moon Man wasn't in today. We had comedian Nick Cody instead. Had a lot of fun with him.
What about that story you was telling about? We had a guy up north who'd been picked up for drink riding and
with a dolphin on his head.
All of a sudden, Nick Cody's chimed in, despite the fact that he hasn't got a license. He got picked up by the cops, and the ending was beautiful.
Yes, indeed.
Also, can of worms. We were talking about, can you flog Christmas trees, your rat bag? You were stealing them.
No. You're cutting them down and helping the can. Well, let everyone else find out themselves.
It was the most specific can of worms ever. Can you steal a Christmas tree from the side of the road?
Oh, not any road either. Bruce Highway.
Yes, Bruce Highway specifically. And your husband's stepdad duties were put to the test last night.
Yeah, I'm not overly sure. To be honest, it's cutting me out of the loop, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
All right, it's all in the catch-up. Enjoy.
Oh, good on you, coppers in Innisfail in North Queensland. They decided to do a bit of extra policing, and in an operation called Operation Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, like the movie.
Sick. Yeah, like the movie.
Didn't they wear tight shorts in that one, the police?
Yeah. They were deciding to pull over people on a roadside breath test, and they were willing to take any sort of mode of transport. And then a 25-year-old backpacker came riding along on his bicycle, and they pulled him over because he had a plush dolphin toy on his head instead of a helmet.
Mm. Remember the Hindu guy who had the turban on his head and they let him off? He said, well, I can't put a helmet on. So maybe that guy's got a dolphin, did you say?
A dolphin.
I don't know what religion that is.
The Royal Show.
And you're a big fan of the show. And
anyway, is a carny.
So did they get him for not wearing a helmet?
Yeah, four times the legal limit. They breathalysed him. 0.182.
That is, I've beaten that.
What?
I've beaten that on a roadside bike test.
You got pulled over riding a bicycle.
I pulled myself in because one night back down in Melbourne a few years ago, it was before
so
I had
hard
my
to
license.
Ride your bike when you've had a few drinks.
Yeah. Though. Well, I hadn't had a few. I'd had infinity beers.
Yes.
And I was riding through the city.
Have you had a drink, sir?
Yeah, infinity.
Hey.
A sideways eight. That's how many beers I've had. And I pulled myself in because there were no cars in the booze bus lane. And my drunk brain said to me, hey, Nick, those cops look lonely. Maybe you should have a chat with those cops.
Oh, you idiot.
I pulled in. I did a skid.
Oh.
Rang my bell. Ding, ding. G'day, dickheads. Right. I was pumped up.
I do think it was a roadworthy. My brakes are working. I've got the bell operation.
Yes, we can see you.
We've got a breathalyzer. I only got my driver's license a few months ago. This is years back, right?
Mm.
I said, I've never been breathed in my life. I blew into the bag and I blew 0.198. Yeah, which apparently is a bad score. Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't have a license.
I didn't have a license, right?
Because he said, "What can they take from you?"
Well, nothing.
Your dolphin.
Nothing. Guess what he did? The cop just let down my tyres.
Oh, that's policing.
That's all he had left.
Brilliant.
It couldn't arrest you for anything like public nuisance because you weren't dinging your bell offensively.
Yep. He had nothing left. He let down both of my tyres and said, "Push that home, dickhead."
Dolphin on the head.
Dolphin on the head.
He gave you a free dolphin. Oh, that's beautiful.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Hey, I know a lot of you drive down the Bruce Highway from the sunny coast each day, and I've done it twice in the last week. I had to go up and see a bloke about something. Driving back.
You did.
Not sus.
No, I had to buy a car for my wife. Yeah. Little Suzuki for my... Anyway, that bit doesn't matter. Went up once to have a look at it. Yeah, thumbs up. Then I went up again and brought it home.
Beautiful.
Driving back. Tis the season to be jolly.
To be jolly.
You can be jolly, right. Yeah.
Starting to think about Christmas. And there I go through, you know, after you're coming back down the highway, the Caloundra exit, yeah,
yes.
The Caloundra exit's on your left, and you get into all that state forest.
Bells Road and Roy's.
Yeah, before Roy's Road, okay? Before Roy's Road.
Yeah, Bells Road.
All right, everyone know where I am?
Yeah.
On the left there, they've cleared that whole pine forest.
Have you now
see the tall buildings at Caloundra. So I don't know when that happened. It was obviously in the last couple of months. It's just bare. There's actually some cattle already grazing on there where the trees used to be. Okay?
I've never seen that.
So the big pine trees, and this is all pine forest. It's state forest. They clear them every once in a while. Every few years they clear one paddock, they clear another one. But what I noticed, what caught my eye, is you know how the highway drops away into the culvert and there's, you know, there's four-wheel drive trails through there and stuff. In that culvert, in the first 5 metres between the edge of the road where you can pull over and down to the culvert, there are thousands. No, there are probably tens of thousands of 5, 6, 8 foot pine trees.
I know where this is going. You are such a cheapskate.
Now, if I had I did do it about 13, 15 years ago, around there. Mm. I stole three of them. I grabbed three of them.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and you brought them home, and I go, two friends. There's your Christmas tree. There's your Christmas tree.
$100
there's
a
mine.
Pop. Beautiful.
Somebody said to me at the time, you're not allowed to do that.
Why?
And now I looked at it again yesterday and went, this is real. This is Christmas. We would be doing the council, whoever runs that side. Who runs the side of the road? Is it wrong?
It would be a stupid.
I'm saying it's okay. I never got pinged for it at that time, and I shouldn't have got pinged. They got lots of spare ones. They just knocked all the big ones over. That's not forest. That's the side of the road. I'm a taxpayer.
Do you think it's nature's hard rubbish collection? Mm. They've chucked all the Christmas trees out onto the side of the road.
You can grab them. If you've got a handsaw and if you pull off safely, I know it's 110 k's there. If you safely pull off the road,
that is stealing, Greg Martin.
I don't think it is stealing.
It is.
If the tree's already cut down,
it's not cut down.
I'll cut it down myself.
See, this is the thing. You've got to have a chainsaw in the boot.
No. You could just have a sharp handsaw.
Oh, of course, I have one of those. Yeah.
It's not stealing if there's no engine attached to the saw. That's different. That's doing people a favour.
It's stealing. Marto, it's stealing.
All right, if you're driving along and there's a median strip and there's a tennis ball there, and you grab that. Is that stealing?
No, well, that's
don't
just
we own
really
that?
Do you have to saw it off?
Well, not
is it attached to the ground?
The tennis ball? No, you don't. There's no sawing. But the stuff on the side of the road. Who owns that stuff?
Okay, there's two issues I have with this. Yeah. One is that you're taking something that doesn't belong to you, and secondly, it is not safe to pull over on the side of the road on a freeway unless you absolutely have to
need a Christmas tree.
No, no.
Can we check with everyone else because we're just sitting here going, oh, I don't think they are. Okay. I think they are.
What are you saying? What are you saying on 133353?
I'm saying don't say the word flog. You can grab a Christmas tree from the side of the road. That's all. It's no man's land.
Cool with me, man.
Deal.
Somebody owned all those trees in the paddock. Nobody owns the road. We own the road.
And now it's yours.
That's just, they're my our trees. They're our trees.
Our trees. Know. Humankind's trees.
No, they're not. David of Salisbury, what do you reckon?
I reckon he's 100% right. They're pretty much a weed. They're on the thoroughfare.
Pretty much a weed.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. You're just doing the council a favour.
Yeah, thank
you. It's a hazard. It's got to get cleared regardless. Mm. What about accidents? Cars come off the side of the road. Mate, I'll grab one too. I'll grab a couple.
Well, we'll invoice them as well, mate. Invoice the council.
Exactly.
Roadside cleanup. No worries.
It's not safe.
Doing the council a favour is great. What a great
stealing. Billy of Strathpine, what do you reckon about these pine trees? Can you grab a Christmas tree from the side of the road?
Sure you can. I used to work for a rather large mobile mechanical industry, and one of the guys had just recently broken up with his wife just before Christmas and was really extremely depressed. Oh. Well, another mechanic pulled over on the side of the road up near Ningi and just happened to knock down one of those pine trees that Marto's talking about and whacked it in the back of his van, drove down to the workshop and spread the Christmas cheer, and that's just what he needed.
Oh, beautiful. Give me the tissues. That's the story.
Spirit of Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Can't argue with that. Yeah. Thanks, Julie. Thanks. Grace of Forest Lake, what do you reckon about these trees?
I'm still laughing about the first two comments, but definitely, I'm sorry, Robin, I disagree thoroughly because it's not in the fence paddock. It's part of the road. You're clearing. You're doing the council a favour.
That's right.
Take as many trees as you want.
Yeah, Rob, as many as a piece of rubbish on the road, Robin mustn't stop. She just drives around things, whereas you and I, Grace, we'd
That's
stop.
Right. Yeah, we're doing them a favour.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think you and I, we could make money out of this.
Righto, Grace.
Okay, thank
you. I knew it was going to turn to that. I knew it was going to go from I need a Christmas tree to who wants to buy a Christmas tree. I've got heaps.
Can I just say, there is a massive accident on the Bruce Highway. A truck has rolled and right on Bell's Creek. So there is traffic.
He's grabbed too many
Christmas trees.
Are you saying we've caused this? People looking.
I'm greedy about it.
I'm just saying that there'd be a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the update. 100% of callers saying that stealing Christmas trees off the side of the road is perfectly acceptable. So get your orders in. Would you like one, Nick?
I'll go 3 6-footers and 3 6-footers.
Robin, get your order in.
No.
Oh, you're such a Grinch.
Where's your Christmas spirit?
Just steal a Christmas tree, for God's sake. The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Hey, I know a lot of you drive down the Bruce Highway from the sunny coast each day, and I've done it twice in the last week. I had to go up and see a bloke about something. Driving back.
You did.
Not sus.
No, I had to buy a car, little Suzuki for my... Anyway, that bit doesn't matter. Went up once to have a look at it. Yeah, thumbs up. Then I went up again and brought it home.
Beautiful.
Driving back, 'tis the season to be jolly. To do what is the season to be
to
jolly?
Be jolly.
To be jolly. Yeah. You can be jolly. Oh, yeah.
Starting to think about Christmas, and there I go through. You know, after you're coming back down the highway, the Caloundra exit. Yeah, yes. The Caloundra exit's on your left, and you get into all that state forest.
Bells Road and Roy's.
Yeah, before Roy's Road. Okay, before Roy's Road.
Yeah, Bells
Road. All right, everyone know where I am.
Yeah.
On the left there, they've cleared that whole pine forest.
Have
you can
they?
Now see the tall buildings at Caloundra. So I don't know when that happened. It was obviously in the last couple of months. It's just bare. There's actually some cattle already grazing on there where the trees used to be. Okay?
I've never seen that.
So the big pine trees, and this is all pine forest, it's state forest, they clear them. I mean, every once in a while, every few years, they clear one paddock, they clear another one. But what I noticed, what caught my eye is, you know how the highway drops away into the culvert and there's you know, there's four-wheel drive trails through there and stuff? In that culvert, in the first 5 metres between the edge of the road where you can pull over and down to the culvert, there are thousands. No, there are probably tens of thousands of 5, 6, 8 foot pine trees.
Mm. I know where this is going. You are such a cheapskate.
Now, if I had I did do it about 13, 15 years ago around there. Mm. I stole three of them. I grabbed three of them.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and you brought them home and I go, two friends. There's your Christmas tree. There's your Christmas tree.
$100
there's
a pop.
Somebody said to me at the time, you're not allowed to do that.
Why?
And now I looked at it again yesterday and went, this is real. This is Christmas. We would be doing the council, whoever runs that side. Who runs the side of the road? Is it wrong?
It would be a statement.
I'm saying, it's okay. I never got pinged for it at that time, and I shouldn't have got pinged. They got lots of spare ones. They just knocked all the big ones over. That's not forest. That's the side of the road. I'm a taxpayer.
Do you think it's nature's hard rubbish collection? Mm. They've chucked all the Christmas trees out onto the side of the road.
You can grab them. If you got a handsaw, and if you pull off safely, I know it's 110 k's there. If you safely pull off the road,
that is stealing, Greg Martin.
I don't think it is stealing.
It is.
If the tree's already cut down,
it's not cut down.
I'll cut it down myself.
See, this is the thing. You've got to have a chainsaw in the boot.
No. You could just have a sharp handsaw.
Oh, of course, I have one of those. Yeah.
Well, it's not stealing if there's no engine attached to the saw. That's different. That's doing people a favour.
Stealing, Marto. It's stealing.
All right. If you're driving along and there's a median strip and there's a tennis ball there, and you grab that. Is that stealing?
No, well, that's
don't we own
really
that?
Do you have to saw it off?
Well, not
is it attached to the ground?
The tennis ball? No, you don't. There's no sawing. But the stuff on the side of the road. Who owns that stuff?
Okay, there's two issues I have with this. One is that you're taking something that doesn't belong to you, and secondly, it is not safe to pull over on the side of the road on a freeway unless you absolutely have to
need a Christmas tree.
No, no.
Can we check with everyone else because we're just sitting here going, oh, I don't think they are. Okay. I think they are.
What are you saying? What are you saying on 133353?
I'm saying don't say the word flog. You can grab a Christmas tree from the side of the road. That's all. It's no man's land.
Cool with me, man.
Deal.
Somebody owned all those trees in the paddock. Nobody owns the road. We own the road.
Now it's yours.
That's just, they're my our trees. They're our trees.
Our trees. Know. Humankind's trees.
No, they're not. David of Salisbury, what do you reckon?
I reckon he's 100% right. They're pretty much a weed. They're on the thoroughfare.
pretty much a weed.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. You're just doing the council a favour.
Yeah, thank
you. It's a hazard. It's got to get cleared regardless. Mm. What about accidents? Cars come off the side of the road. Mate, I'll grab one too. I'll grab a couple.
Well, we'll invoice them as well, mate. Invoice the council.
Exactly.
Roadside cleanup. No worries.
It's Dave. Safe.
Doing the council a favour is great. What a great
stealing. Billy of Strathpine, what do you reckon about these pine trees? Can you grab a Christmas tree from the side of the road?
Sure you can. I used to work for a rather large mobile mechanical industry, and one of the guys had just recently broken up with his wife just before Christmas and was really extremely depressed. Oh. Well, another mechanic pulled over on the side of the road up near Ningi and just happened to knock down one of those pine trees that Marto's talking about and whacked it in the back of his van and drove down to the workshop and spread the Christmas cheer, and that's just what he needed.
Oh, give me the tissues. That's the story.
Spirit of Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Can't argue with that. Yeah. Thanks, Julie. Grace of Forest Lake, what do you reckon about these trees?
I'm still laughing about the first two comments, but definitely, I'm sorry, Robin, I disagree thoroughly because it's not in the fence paddock. It's part of the road. You're clearing. You're doing the council a favour.
That's right.
Take as many trees as you want.
Yeah, Robin. Yeah. Maybe there was a piece of rubbish on the road. Robin mustn't stop. She just drives around things. Whereas you and I, Grace, we'd
stop. That's right. Yeah, we're doing them a favour.
Yeah.
Okay, can I
think you and I, we could make money out of this.
Righto, Grace.
Okay, thank
I
you.
Knew it was going to turn to yeah, that. Yeah. I knew it was going to go from I need a Christmas tree to who wants to buy a Christmas tree. I've got heaps.
Can I just say, there is a massive accident on the Bruce Highway.
What,
as
now?
We spe- right
oh, no.
now.
Are you so not going to buy the Christmas tree?
Yeah, a truck has rolled and right on Bell's Creek. So there is traffic.
He's grabbed
stopped.
Too many Christmas trees.
Are you saying we've trees. Caused this? People looking.
Don't be greedy about it.
I'm just saying that there'd be a lot of people stopped. Yeah. Mark of Salisbury, what have you got to add to this conversation?
Yeah, hi guys. Back in the early 90s, north of Townsville, went looking for a Christmas tree, knocked one down and was arrested. Went to court, one count of willful destruction and one count of stealing.
Was it in a house, though? It sounds like you've gone looking for it. Was outdoors, you cut it down?
Hey.
Yeah, and I didn't have a saw like Marto would walk around with in the car.
How'd you get it so down? Headbutted it. What a weapon.
Yeah, rocked it and snapped the trunk.
What?
So the first one that I rocked and snapped the trunk, I broke the branches down one side. So that was the willful destruction.
And then you went and another one.
And then I went another one, and that was stealing.
Mm. And how much were you fined, Mark?
Well, it ended up being $250 each. Wasn't a lot, but the judge said it was Crown land. And if I let you get away with it and the rest of society did it, we'd have our forests denuded.
There you go. Uh-huh. I rest my case.
They grow back.
That's true.
Exactly. Did they let you hang on to them, Mark? Because you're not going to go. Yeah, did you already say go and replant them?
No. 2 days before Christmas, the police in an unmarked car actually fronted around to the house and they took me and the tree.
They put the tree in cups?
Presents?
Yeah, they put the tree in the boot of the cop car.
In the divvy van. Yeah. Is that a Chrissy tree in the divvy van?
So the poor little presents were just sitting there on their own, no tree.
You are doing some hard time, Pine.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's the big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Okay, so let me give you some context for this whole stepfathering thing because, Nick, you know, because I keep talking about it, that I got married 2 weeks
what?
Ago.
She hasn't wanted to talk about a wedding.
You are kidding.
Oh, no, I love it. It was the best weekend of my life. But officially, on that moment that I married Sean, he became my teenage son's stepfather.
Can I just interrupt? Have you got any photos of your wedding?
Stop
I haven't
it.
Seen any.
There's 1,600 of them. Leave me alone.
That's
I keep
not bad.
Showing all of them all of the time. Okay. Anyway, officially, so in happy. That moment, Sean became my teenage boy's stepfather. So to give you some context on these kids, their dad died very suddenly 5 years ago. And from that moment on, I realised that I was going to be a really crap dad. I could be an awesome mum, but when it came to teenage boys and parenting fathering,
yep.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Fair enough.
And also too, my dad died when I was 11 and I have no brothers. So it was a whole brave new world. And one of the things that I learned in this last 5 years is that boys will pick their own mentors. And I have been very lucky that my teenage sons have picked like their football coach.
Yep, in Marto. Fact,
no, that hasn't
I've kind of kept them separate.
I'm like the uncle.
Oh, they really do like Marto. They like, yeah. And they think
they
they'll lead him
astray. Why.
Are they like, is he like they're scared straight? You know what I mean? You introduce them. Yeah,
that's what happens to you.
And believe me, they are kept away okay. from Moon Man. Like, yeah. There
oh,
is
yeah.
no
oh,
way.
Met.
Yeah.
He is the crazy yeah. uncle. Yeah. They saw him at the wedding.
Yeah, really.
Did she mention the wedding?
They'll probably run into him at a schoolie somewhere.
Anyway, so the whole concept of a stepdad has been super important to me because I think, you know, my yeah. kids really need a male figure in their life. And Sean moved up in May from Sydney. And we've been very gently just negotiating through the whole idea of him coming in and parenting.
Not forcing him on him.
Not forcing him. And he hasn't done that. But, you know, we went and had a counselling session, which we do and my kids do and have done since their dad died. And I got told very clearly that I need to step away now, that my job with my teenage boys, now that there is a strong male presence who they really like in the house, this little white duck needs to just back off and let Sean do the male thing with my sons. And I'm like, yep, no problem. I was right up for that. I'm saying this to the counsellor. I'm saying, yep, no worries. So then we had a work function last night, which we all went to, and Sean decided that he was going to take on this whole male role model thing for himself. And he took my sons out to dinner. And we went via, on the way home, I went via where they were, which was the local Chinese restaurant in Kenmore. And to pick, they, you know, I got dropped off and they took me home. The whole way home in the car, they are absolutely cacking themselves.
Wow.
And
that's
I kept saying, I know, it's a great sign. And I was feeling really good about it. And then when I'm kind of putting them to bed and saying goodnight and stuff, I'm saying, so, what were you talking to Sean about? Mm. Not one of them would tell me.
And oh, they were hanging it on you for sure.
Really?
For sure. That's why they're laughing. You probably did something
here
in the
she is
car.
Now.
And,
oh, look at
it. But do you know what they were saying to me? Oh, look, that's secret men's business. I'm like,
that's right.
No, it's not.
In other words, they were talking sport all night, and his mum Shield won't want to. She'll want to talk emotions.
To know now, there's this whole other concept that's happening in a house where apparently I'm not engaged and involved, and I'm sorry.
And I've got a feeling, Robin, if you went out for meals with your sons, there'd be vegetables and salads. Mm. I guarantee those lads did not have one bit of grain.
I bet you they had deep fried ice cream.
Everything sizzling. Yeah. Everything came out on fire.
Plus, Sean's done a tight five about all your flaws, and the kids go, she does do that.
Is that really what's happened?
That is 100% what's happened.
And that's why they're not telling me.
Do you remember the wedding when your youngest spoke and he said, oh, so good to have Sean here because mum's the no person and he's the yes man.
Yeah.
And that's who he is. He's just the pushover for the rest of your life.
Could this be the quickest marriage ever?
Yeah. No, the kids won't let him go.
No.
He's a keeper.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Morning, guys. I want to tell you a great little dog story I've seen in the paper today. My wife and I have a Staffy at home, a beautiful little Staffy pup named Yumi. And if you know anything about Staffies, they can be a bit of a nightmare to live with, right? I've had this dog bring in a full lavender bush out of the backyard from its root.
Offering.
Yep. She's eaten a full chair, just eaten it.
What
a full wooden chair.
Why? Just boredom or creative?
I don't know. I asked her, but she hasn't gotten back to me. Yeah. I've sent her sent text emails. I've yelled out the back window.
Hold on. Were you home when he ate the chair? He or she? Sorry.
She. I don't think it matters, does it? The gender, if you're eating a chair?
Yeah.
I don't think.
You win.
You're just a monster. But I thought my dog was a bit loose. This bloody Staffy up on the Sunshine Coast, Gypsy, has chewed through walls, doors and plasterboard, but it's not because she's naughty.
I can
like
see the
my
photo.
Dog. Yeah, she's terrified.
Of thunderstorms.
Of what?
The thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of dogs.
The thunder gets her. And her owner, Nathan Rumble, which is a bad name. If they're yelling out Rumble, that sounds like thunder. That's going to kick the dog off. Mr. Rumble's tried everything. They've tried cage training, a behavioural psychology consultant, a thunder jacket, herbal and homeopathic treatment.
Thunder
Write
jacket.
Down thunder jacket for future analysis. What?
Acupuncture, music, essential oils.
What in the pressure points?
I think
on
the
her.
Dog's just trying to get out of this bloody hippie's house. Yeah. It's like, I'm a Staffy. I'm not.
But that'd be interesting too, because basically she must be so frightened that she's just trying to get out of wherever she is to get away from
chewing through the gyprock. That's what that photo is. I'm looking upside down.
Yeah, she's done a bit of plaster work there.
That's very destructive. Has Teddy damaged anything?
No, what sort of dog's Teddy?
I got a Kelpie, so they're lively.
Mine's a Staffy Kelpie cross.
Oh, mate, busy dog. Busy dog.
The build of a Staffy.
Because we don't let him sleep inside. He goes outside at night time. And because he wants to come back in either then or in the morning, he's almost worn through the door by just clawing at it. It's a long-term program, like open-cut coal mining. He's just getting layers off the door, just the one door. So he's working on it. Like if you're in prison, you just go to your cell at night time and just...
My wife and I are moving house in 2 weeks' time into another rental property, and it turns out our dog Yumi is named after the ancient Japanese word for we're not getting our bond back, because this thing has destroyed everything.
They do, mate. Puppies are the worst.
Okay, 133353. What does your pet destroy? It doesn't have to just be a dog.
No.
Oh.
I used to have pet budgies. Yeah. I love a bloody budgie. And if I was reading books, it'd sit on top of the book but eat the pages as you were reading.
God, they're vicious, aren't they? The budgies.
Vicious. They're brutal.
Jason of Waterford, what is your dog torn apart? Hey, Jace.
I think it's eating Jason.
It's gone through the phone line there. So.
Yeah, let's try Andrew of Budra. Morning.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, what happened, mate?
Thank you. What happened?
Mate, a couple of quick things. I had a dog, same dog, had a half Alsatian, half Labrador. Everyone called him Scooby-Doo. He was a beautiful dog.
Okay.
We had a party one night and we locked him in the pool. And at the end of the pool, I had these two big pots with these big ficuses in them, like beautiful standardised ficuses. Woke up next morning, one of them, he chewed down to the stem and everything was floating around in the pool.
Oh.
I said to the guys, I said, he's got to go. This was other than he chewed bras and everything else off the line. Anyway, the last straw was I got home from work one day. Found him laying on my 9-foot slate pool table, looked at the pool table,
must have brushed his nose up against one of the cushions and went, that's soft, started chewing it, chewed out three cushions, felt, you name it.
Oh, hard to get a shot to, you know, off.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, good excuse, though.
So I took him to the vet.
Oh, dear.
Took him down to the vet, and I said, can I? He said, what do you need? I said, need the dog put down. I said, can I do it?
Okay, Andrew, stop it. You're chuckling.
No chuckling.
Oh,
I don't think
dude.
You can put the dog down because it chewed something.
Yeah.
No. What are you putting it down for? Yeah. It's doing what it's meant to.
The cush. It damaged my cush.
Andrew.
Should have just let it have, you know, two-shot penalty, but putting it down, Christ.
Grant of Redcliffe, what did your dog chew through?
How you going, guys? I was looking after a mate's dog. He was working away for a week, so I said, no worries. It was a red heel across a dingo.
Or busy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and so I woke up one morning and he chewed all the legs off my dining room table.
What? Good effort.
What do you mean chewed them off? Like just kept on. Did he keep levelling it? Go, I'll go to the next leg.
Well, he got one side down. He got about a quarter of the way up of that one. And when the table went down, and then he decided to chew the rest of the legs off as well. And I've pretty chunky legs. So he had a good go. Kept him going all night. So, he was a great dog. Didn't bark or anything like that. But
he was a great dog. You didn't put him down too, did you, Grant?
he was a ripper dog, Just don't let him inside your house.
Okay.
Tables.
Great. Monique of Cleveland, what did your pet destroy?
Was actually my wedding dress. I had a 18-year-old Moggy. He had a few little health issues as he was getting older, but he decided to pee on my wedding dress, all over it.
Before or after the wedding?
Luckily after my wedding, but my intention was to keep this very expensive dress. But, luckily it was after the wedding. But I actually didn't discover it for some time afterwards, and I was wondering what the really rancid smell was.
It sounds like it would be good luck, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? It's the dog pissed on your wedding dress. That's good luck.
No.
No?
No. No? And it would stain terribly too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know what? I had it dry cleaned, and I quickly put it back in its case, and it's a bit of denial. I just don't even want to open it to see if it's still stained.
No, well, that's your fault for having an incontinent blind cat.
Is this a thing? Is your name Monique?
Yeah,
it is.
As in Lewinsky, same sort of thing. It's
Monica, mate.
No, that's Monica. And you know what? I get Monica all the time, but that's the first Lewinsky comparison I've had.
Right. Oh, it's just the dress thing, that's all.
Oh, no!
Yours wasn't a presidential cat, it's okay.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Guys, it's a hard rubbish collection in my suburb at the minute. The council, I don't know about this, first of all, they've given us a 3-week window. Too long?
Hold on. They sent you the letter and said, usually they say from Sunday to such and such. Yeah, you're picking up.
They
give
do
you
that
a week.
Here too. Brisbane City Council does that because that gives you 3 weekends to clear out your garage.
Are you supposed to put them out straight away at that time?
Like, well, it helps if for the old cars that then go around that aren't in your suburb picking it up.
Can we check? Do they prefer, and they're happy for people to pick the stuff up because it makes their job easier. Their contractors who collect it in the truck, doesn't it? It makes their job easier.
It is a big swap. Seems more like a big swap for everyone in the city. You know what I mean?
You're right.
They've given us 3 weeks. The neighbourhood's a nightmare because of people. There's so much stuff out. The weather's terrible, so it just looks like the apocalypse has kicked off already. I had a mate that, when we were younger, his couch got on A Current Affair. His couch was famous. We were playing in the street. It was hard rubbish week, and a bloke came past in a ute and said, "Can I grab your couch?" And he said, I guess that's fine. Yeah, he asked.
I just didn't check that was outside furniture, whether it was hard rubbish.
The couch
You've
in the gutter.
You've heard those stories, haven't you? People who are mowing and they leave their whippersnipper on the footpath and it goes,
Really?
Well, we've run that before and people ring up and go, I got my whippersnipper, I got my mower taken, I just mopped inside for a drink of water and people just grab stuff.
Yeah, I left my bike in the shed and someone thought that was taken off with that. And later in the week, I get a knock on the door and he goes, "Turn on A Current Affair." And there was a story about a bloke that's furnished his whole house from hard rubbish. And my mate's couch was bloody famous.
Oh, that's super.
Is it though, really?
Did his house look awful?
You know, everyone goes, "Wow, you clever guy." And I just go, "That is so ugly."
We had a bloke last night who was coming around in a truck. He's hired a truck. That's how deep he's going in the hard rubbish.
Because there's money in it. Because they go... They can make money on top of it. It costs them nothing. They just throw the stuff in and then they get home and work out all the copper and things like that.
Oh, they're going that deep into it. Because I've never seen anything good. I've had mates that have said they've found amazing stuff in hard rubbish. Maybe I'm not looking hard enough.
Well, it depends what you value, because it's the copper wiring and stuff in fridges and like in televisions. Yep. People are willing to go and dismantle.
See, that's
that is deep.
If you get enough copper, you're not, yeah. not much copper gets you a carton of beer. So you take it to the recyclers. But the other thing is, whenever I used to do any building jobs, ask around Ascot and Hamilton, you should see the scabs line up there real early, because they throw out better stuff. They throw out better stuff than we do.
Oh, yeah. Same with the floods. During the floods, what when all the stuff was thrown out onto around Kenmore, and oh man, there was this one house where they literally were rolling a big grand piano up onto the just to be taken away.
Oh my god!
Oh, Gucci handbags. Well, did I?
Wow.
How do I know that?
Anyway, is that where you got yours?
Yeah. If you have got some really cool hard rubbish.
What have you found? Yeah. I want to hear the best of the best finds. A bloody grand piano sounds fantastic.
Sure does.
You need a few people to help you out, though. You're not picking that up yourself.
I conducted an experiment 3 weeks ago. I put out two chairs, a little bar cane thing as well, like basket, and what else? And a cardboard box. That was the only thing left, was the cardboard box out the front of my
and
house.
Do people
not
take
hard rubbish.
It?
Yeah, they just drive past and grab it. People will grab anything apart from cardboard boxes.
So you think you've got a better chance of your stuff going if you put it out when it's not hard rubbish?
Oh, because you're the only one. You're a featured player.
Yeah.
I bet you your neighbours ran inside, went looking for the council form. Is hard rubbish coming? What are we going
to do? Yeah, you probably said a terrible. Yeah. I should check that we've actually got the form. Someone might have just put stuff out on the lawn. Everyone's gone,
all right, hard rubbish, we're on.
133353, what was the greatest find you got with the hard rubbish collection? Dave of Nudgee.
How you going?
Yeah, good. What'd you get?
We went to a kid's birthday party and had a few beers and got the young fella around to pick us up and look across the road. They must have just put it out. There's a bloody 50s pedal car.
Oh, and did you nick it, take it, borrow it?
He put it straight in the boat, put it on eBay the next day and sold it for $450.
Jesus.
Hold on, there's a couple elements here.
Yeah. Kids party and your kids come to pick you up.
And what was the boat bit?
In the boot.
The boot.
I thought his kid was towing a boat around.
Well, if you don't have a trailer, that is, you know, it's a very fancy trailer.
Just pop
you?
Well done, Dave. Very cool, Dave. You're winning so far. Sarah, morning.
I think this is John from Korean Heights. Morning, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, Mog. How are you, gang? It's not so much what I found as what I've done to a vacuum cleaner.
Like what?
I filled up with beanbag beans and reversed the motor. So whoever picked it up, when they go to test it, it's going to empty your beanbag beans everywhere.
That's the best. John. That is the best.
Oh, you're mean.
You needed a camera on that.
Anytime I'm in a hotel, I set the alarm to 3 a.m. when I leave, so the next person in there, they're just going to get woken up at 3.
Oh, no.
You and John need to talk.
Thanks, John.
That's brilliant.
And Robert of North Lakes, what happened with the hard rubbish?
Good morning to William team. So when I was living in London, they generally just leave stuff on the side of the road and people pick it up.
Yeah.
Mates have been on it for a drink the night, and coming home, they've seen a table and chairs, pick it up, take it home. Next morning, get a knock on the door saying, guys, can we please have our table and chairs back? We're actually moving in.
Oh, they were just resting there.
That's one way to meet your
neighbour.
Oh, that's great. Love your work.
Good on you, Robert. That's a big breakfast, Triple M. Comedian Nick Cody filling in for Moon today, top of 35. It's hot. If you just don't wear a shirt to work, that's what we're saying. It's all thanks to Team Moto Motorcycles.
Don't tell us this at the end of the work.
Top's off, baby.
An earlier email would have been great.
No
skincare.
Okay, can we talk the Mundane Horn fight, which of course is Friday night? The Rumble in the River City?
Nearly.
River City Rumble.
I was going to say, that's got a better ring to it. Fight down at the bloody joint.
Shut down at the Suncorp? No. Okay, so last week we were hearing from Anthony Mundine, who was saying things like this.
Yeah, and chase emus, chase iguanas and things like that. You got to be quick, man. You got to be super quick.
Thanks, Anthony.
He did that on his way up. He drove up, did you know? He drove up from Sydney and stopped at a heap of Aboriginal communities on the way to see all his cousins and stuff. And he was chasing chickens as well.
Well, it would seem that Jeff Horn was not going to be outdone by the emus. And, yes, he's taken to the chickens.
I heard Mundine's been chasing emus around the farm and I thought, well, I've got to be beating him at something. The only way to catch them is to use these fences and this tennis court as a ring in here, so getting the chook into the sidelines.
We're not going to kill.
He hasn't passed that concussion test from the last Friday, has he?
We're not going to cure cancer on Friday night, are we? Like, how smart? It's not how smart are you?
It's dodgy for like a camera work last night of watching Horn, awkwardly chase a chook.
And they're copying obviously the thing for the famous scene in Rocky.
Yeah, this one.
Catch a little chicken! Come on! Move your tail! Move your tail!
That was a great scene. If you can catch a chicken, you can catch it. You get your footwork going. Oh, my God.
But they're doing a thing from a movie about a fake boxer. Mm. You know what I mean? It's not the best training preparation.
No.
It's not realistic. No other boxers are chasing chooks.
See,
except the movies.
Normally I would say that is a ploy to sell tickets, but if you look in the website, they're reckoning there's less than 1% of tickets available.
If there's a chicken gets in that ring on Friday night, it is so they'll take the gloves.
Get a chicken on the undercard.
Two chickens fighting each other.
Oh, chicken fight.
Can I just ask, who do you think's going to win, legit?
Horn, it has, surely.
Horn, he's 30 years of age against a 43-year-old.
Yeah, but Mundane's got nothing to lose.
Well, you go right ahead, use your money. He's paying $5, all yours.
Oh, okay. Is he? I'm in. Come on, Mundane. Come on.
Nick Cody, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us
today. Thanks very much, guys.
The Moon Man back tomorrow. It is the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
It all started 2.5 weeks ago when we had an email from Kathy from the ICU from Lady Salento Hospital going, can you help this couple with a little boy called Henry? The story goes something like that because a lot of you know the story and you all jumped in and helped. It goes like this.
Henry was a healthy, happy 3-year-old, contracted a chest infection, and then he started having seizures on the fourth day. Lost the ability to breathe.
You've left your country home for good and you've bought a place in Brisbane. And you need what stuff done?
So we need ramp built so he can have access to the house and a big open bathroom so that we can get him into the shower in his shower chair.
Okay.
It'll be fantastic to get him home.
And that's where Marto and his group of amazing people come in.
Oh, amazing people, all right. We started demo, met Roger, who's been the most valuable bloke, project manager. He's there every morning.
An engineer would be really what we need at the moment.
Hey, Mike, you might be able to help us, eh?
Yeah, so we're MJR building approvals. Just this bathroom would have to be getting up 15, 20K. Got the plasters here now. Just this PVC cladding, perhaps just a colour steel or colour bond or something like that, and perhaps we just have someone who could stock some of that.
Calvin from Cal's Construction. Early Bird Steel supplied the steel for the beam. Dave from Mitre 10 Bean Lee has donated the bathroom cabinet. Height for Hire are donating a front-loading washing machine and dryer.
Corey from Blackout Electrical Solutions.
We've got a young girl, she's 14 months old, and it's just pulled on the hard strength of the wife, and she jumped on the blower straight away and wanted to contribute.
So, Jeannie, you've been to the house twice now. What did you think? What were your first impressions?
Oh, just too many tears. Absolutely blown away. Like, we could have never pulled any of this off. Like, it was just amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, and it will finish. We will be there next Tuesday broadcasting live from the house so that we can bring you the video and we can talk to all the tradies that have been a part of it. But we would not have been able to do it without one single guy, and that guy is Roger, our project manager. Hey, Rog.
Morning, guys.
Rog, 2.5 weeks in. Well, we only started Tuesday 2 weeks ago. Why are we just about fit off by the Sparkies?
Today, the Sparkies are finishing off. They were just waiting on some gear yesterday, Marto. So, yeah, look, all tradies will be out of there today.
Oh, my God, then we got a clean. And so we'll be done by Friday and then we'll get sorted for our handover on next Tuesday morning. We'll be at Kamira.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be ready to go.
So what's next for you, Rog? What are you going to do?
Oh, I better find a job, I guess.
Can we give you a hand, Rog? I know you've been incredible. I think it was your ex-wife who dobbed you in on day one, but if you weren't there, my life would have been a gibbering mess at this stage. You have saved everyone and you have been so kind to everyone who came on site.
Marto wouldn't have been that kind.
No, that's right. I would have been angry and everyone would have hated me. Mate, you said to me that day one you had that 12-week contract down in Hobart, you came back up here and you never mentioned what, and you haven't got anything from here. Have you?
No, nothing lined up, Marto. No, I sort of lost a few contacts working overseas for a few years. So I was just filling in for a mate in Hobart. So, yeah, look, if there was anything out there, I'd certainly be open to
what a man.
That'd be great.
Okay, so what do you actually do, Rog? Like, what sort of company should be talking to you?
Hutchinson's? The big mobs?
Yeah, anything like that. Yeah, look, more residential is what I've done. Marto.
Yeah, right.
So, any sort of building supervision, project management.
Mm. Can you manage my house? Just help. I've got a 9-week-old and my wife's nuts. Can't. I'm not sleeping much. Can you
sort her out?
I'll leave that with you.
Stand by. There'd be somebody who'd be able, with you, they'd be able to step up to the next level of projects. Like, there's builders who are running around like blue-ass flies, haven't got enough time. They need you. I've seen you in action, mate. It's been quite incredible. You're in my top four Kiwis I've ever met in my life as
wow.
well.
Wow.
Top four.
Jeez. Yes, exactly. I know, very lucky.
No, what an incredible man. Rog, I know everyone's been extraordinary who's come on site, but you've corralled them and you've cajoled them into doing this amazing project. Robin wants to ask, how much?
Yeah, no, I do want to know this. Can you, I don't know if you know the figure off the top of your head right
crass?
Now. But
Look, I was actually working that out this morning and it's got to be close to 100 now, 90 to 100. Wow. Yeah.
We're good at spending money quickly, aren't we?
Wow.
Yeah, and I'd added it all up, so yeah.
Okay, Rog, if we talk to you tomorrow, can you break that down for me? Because I'm really curious to know how much garage was, how much. Well, I just think people are interested.
Robin had a reno done last year, Rog, where she thought it was going to cost, I won't say the figure, a certain figure. It was triple in the end. So she's fascinated by how well we've done and really happy for us. Hey, mate, thank you. I hope somebody gives us a yell from one of the, medium-sized house builders, whatever, large house builders, because they need you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great.
What a champ.
Good on you, Roger. 133353 if you can help Roger out, or the lend a hand page, triplem.com.au. You can see the progress there as well. You can always join our street team as well, Roger. Get out amongst the streets of Brisbane.
Handing out cold cans.
Hey, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere, man. It's the big breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.